A woman laughed, and Alexander Lewis, Duke of Greyland, felt the sound like a gunshot to his chest. It was a very pleasant laugh, low and musical, rather than shrill and forced. Yet it sounded like the Lost Queen's laugh. Alex could not resist the urge to glance over his shoulder as he left the Eagle Chop House. He'd fancifully taken to calling her the Lost Queen, though she was most assuredly a mortal woman. Had she somehow appeared on a busy London street at dusk? The last time he'd seen her had been 2 years ago, in the spa town of Cheltenham, in his bed, asleep and naked. The owner of the laugh turned out to be a completely different woman, brunette rather than blonde, petite and round rather than lithe and willowy. She caught Alex staring and raised her eyebrows. He bowed gravely in response, then continued toward the curb. Night came on in indigo waves, but the shop spilled golden light in radiant patches onto the street. The hard-working citizens of London continued to toil as the upper echelons began their evening revelries. Crowds thronged the sidewalk, while wagons, carriages and people on horseback crammed the streets. A handful of pedestrians recognised Alex and politely curtsied or tipped their hats, murmuring, "Good evening, Your Grace." Though he was in no mood for politeness, responsibility and virtue were his constant companions, had been his whole life, and so rather than snapping, "Go to the devil, damn you," he merely nodded in greeting. He'd done his duty. He'd been seen in public, rather than disappearing into the cavernous chambers of his Mayfair mansion, where he could lick his wounds in peace. The trouble with being a duke was that he always had to do his duty. "You are the pinnacle of British society," his father had often said to him. "The world looks to you for guidance, so you must lead by example. Be their true north." This evening, before dining, Alex had taken a very conspicuous turn up and down Bond Street, making certain that he was seen by many consequential and loose-lipped figures in the ton. Word would soon spread that the Duke of Greyland was not holed up, sulking in seclusion. His honour as one of society's bulwarks would not be felled by something as insignificant as his failed marriage suit to Lady Emmeline Burks. The Dukes of Greyland had stood strong against Roundheads, Jacobites and countless other threats against Britain. One girl barely out of the schoolroom could hardly damage Alex's ducal armour. But that armour had been dented by the Lost Queen, far deeper than he would have expected. Standing on the curb, he signalled for his carriage, which pulled out of the mews. He tugged on his spotless gloves as he waited and adjusted the brim of his black beaver hat to make certain it sat properly on his head. "Always maintain a faultless appearance," his father had reminded him again and again. "The slightest bit of disorder in your dress can lead to rampant speculation about the stability of your affairs. This we cannot tolerate. The nation demands nothing less than perfection." Alex's father had been dead for 10 years, but that didn't keep the serious, sober man's voice from his mind. It was part of him now. His role as one of the most powerful men in England, and the responsibilities that role carried with it. Not once did he ever let frivolities distract him from his duties. Except for one time. Forcing the thought from his mind, Alex looked impatiently for his carriage. Just as the vehicle pulled up, however, two men appeared and grabbed his arms on each side. Alex stiffened. He did not care for being touched without giving someone express permission to do so. People on the street also did not normally seize each other. Was it a robbery? A kidnapping attempt? His hands curled instinctively into fists, ready to give his accosters a beating. "What's this?" one of the younger men exclaimed with mock horror. "Have I grabbed hold of a thundercloud?" "Don't know about you," the other man said dryly, "but I seem to have attached myself to an enormous bar of iron. How else to explain its inflexibility?" He tried to shake Alex, to little avail. When he wanted to be, Alex was absolutely immovable. Alex's fingers loosened. He tugged his arms free and growled. "That's enough, you donkeys." Thomas Powell, the Earl of Langdon, and heir to the Duke of Northfield, grinned, a flash of white in his slightly unshaven face. "Come now, Greyland," he chided, A hint of an Irish accent made his voice musical, evidence of Landon's early years, spent in his mother's native county, Kerry.